Why, oh, why Proverbs? Well, I kind of turned to Proverbs because of what the meeting that follows. But anyway, let me share with you Proverbs 14:15. The naive believe everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be more desired than great riches. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs. Why Proverbs? To understand, perhaps we ought to read Proverbs 2. So I'll turn to Proverbs 2, and I'm going to read all 22 verses, I guess. But anyway, and I will try to just read it so that it's understandable, but you can read along. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and he preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, ever good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness? Who rejoice to do evil and delight in frowardness of the wicked? Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house incline unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That they mayest walk in the way of good men and keep paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. If that's the case, then why are we worried about all of the things that are going on right now? Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5, I want to read verse 7 through 10. Jeremiah 5, 7 through 10. How shall I pardon thee for this thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods? When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such nation as this? Go ye up into her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. Sin brings punishment. What the Bible's saying, sin brings punishment. Sin for all, even the good people in the process of sin get persecuted for their faith. So sin brings punishment. That's what 5 through 7, 7 through 10 make it clear. Jeremiah 5:21, turn there, just a few verses over. Hear now this, foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes, and see not, which have ears, and hear not. Sin blinds. Sin blinds the people. You know, it's joy. It's fun. And sin blinds them because they see it as a fun thing sort of to do. So the man that have the absolute desire to come to the children's school and dress in women's clothes and dance in front of the children, you see, it's fun. And they're blinded because they do not see these words that we just read. That blind sin blinds people. And that's the reason we got Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, transgender, LGBT, social justice. And some of the people are so bad they can't control themselves. Some of them just so bad they just can't control themselves. We've created a religion of sex in this country, and the Supreme Court of this country has done it. They've done it. Man can marry a woman. And man can marry man. So we've made it a country of sex, a faith of sex in this country. The Biden bribery scandal is coming out. So they have 17 tapes with Biden on record. Fluoridated water is now being proved to be bad for your health. You see, the IQ of children has gone down 9 points. 7 points for sure. 7 points. The IQ has gone down because of fluoridated water. What they forget to tell you about fluoridated water is, you see, this was a part of the chemical in the German concentration camps that they used to poison the people. Fluoridation, which we've been selling as something good for your teeth. The people will be different. So now turn to look at Jeremiah 5 and 10. We were just there. Go ye up on her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. But make not it a full end. Mean? Well, turn to Jeremiah 5:17 and see what he says over here. 17 through 18. And they shall eat up thine harvest and the bread which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up the flocks and thy herds, and they shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees, and they shall impoverish the fenced cities where thou trusted with one with the sword. 18. Nevertheless, those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. There's always going to be that remnant. Always going to be that remnant. With all that's going on, many are of the opinion, you see, that the rapture's upon us. I don't know whether it is or not. I think they thought that when Germany was doing those death marches and when Germany was poisoning those people in those prisons. Took people who had no way to defend themselves and marched them into the showers and pumped that gas down the pipe and burned their bodies in incinerators. So turn then with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And 18, God tells us what to do about it. Wherefore, comfort one another. Wherefore, comfort one another. So why turn to Proverbs? Of all things, it's an Old Testament book. You know, what is a proverb anyway? Well, turn to the dictionary. See what the dictionary says. Proverb. Definition in the dictionary, the first definition in the dictionary is a short, and I love this word, pithy, and much used saying expresses a well-known truth or fact. The second definition is accepted as a characteristic, an example. And the third one is Proverbs, the biblical proverb. Well, Proverbs, you see, in ancient times, way, 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 way back there, long before Christ even, really, pithy statements they made. And I saw it as unique and fun and interesting. Why? Because those pithy statements were true. It is suggested that many people may know the difference between right and wrong. And I think, you know, a little girl that's improperly touched knows that it's wrong. And so if they are abused and badly abused, they suppress it because they know it's wrong. They don't want anybody to think they are the guilty person because they know what happened is wrong, but they can't control it. And that's where we are in this country. That's where we are in this country. We know these things are wrong. The people that are doing them know these things are wrong, and we can't control them. I think people would probably know it's wrong to hit another with a bat. I think you know that. It's wrong to steal other people's property. Most people probably come to that. Murder is wrong. I think we sense that, people sense that, that it's wrong to abuse children, that it's wrong to desecrate other people's property, that it's wrong to lie, that people lie, know they are lying, they know they're lying. It might be suggested that anyone who has the capacity to actually do the work of a president of the United States of America would have full knowledge that he's lying when he's lying. I don't know that that's the case of our current situation, but anyway, it would be assumed in my mind that if you really had the capacity to do the work that of a pastor or of a preacher or what have you, a lawyer, whatever, that you would have the capacity to do what's right, not what's wrong. Sin blinds people. People who can't control. There are people now who can't control their actions. The Bible may refer to those people as demon-possessed, and we may call them bipolar and borderline personality traits because the psychologists and the doctors tell us that they really are embedded with this mental incapacity, and they really can't control it. So it's really a difficult thing sometimes when we see people do things that are wrong to know whether we're dealing with a bipolar person or a mentally ill person or what have you. So, Proverbs, the book written by Solomon. Proverbs, chapter 1. 1-8. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase the learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. You know, if this is what God's providing here, why in the world would not every man, woman, and child want that? Wisdom. Who would not want that? But they don't want to read it. You see, it requires reading the Bible. It requires reading Proverbs. That old book of the Old Testament requires for wisdom. That's what it says. It says this book is for wisdom, to give us wisdom. Why wouldn't we want that? Fear of the word, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, Proverbs, and then if you really look at it, Proverbs, and if you go to Exodus 35:30, and you don't need to go there, but if you go there, you'll find that Proverbs deal with creativity. And part of the suggestion of wisdom in Exodus 35:30-35, part of the purpose of that and what it's saying there is that creativity to build the home, to feed the people, to cook the food, to do the things, creativity is part of wisdom. It is a type of wisdom. And so even though that's what that says there, it doesn't really mean that's not the big thing with Proverbs. The underlying purpose of Proverbs is the basis of life and human experience in one relationship with God. The underlying purpose is to share that, the basis of life and human experience with one relation, in one relationship with God. That's the biggie purpose. And out of that, you see, we get a moral understanding. We get the ability to understand what's right and what's wrong. That's Proverbs 2:6-22. We get the proper attitude we should have to material possessions. That's Proverbs 3:9-10. We get the attitude for work, for gain. And that's Proverbs 6:6-11. And we get the balance of security for living in the world. That's Proverbs 21:26. And we get the right relationship to the neighbor, and that's Proverbs 3:27-29. That's just to name a few of the things that you learn in Proverbs. Why wouldn't you want to know that? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Because the book itself tells you that's the good life. God's given us a guidebook on how to live, and we don't want to read it. People don't read it. But there's more to the purpose. Another purpose is the personification of God, of God's attributes. And you see, we do that. We personify Him by God's hand. I've never seen God. The Bible says that God's made, or I'm made in God's image. So if I'm physically in God's image, I guess He has two hands. But it may not be that God is saying we are in His physical image. It may well be that we are in His spiritual business image. Maybe we don't look like Him at all. Maybe He's totally different when we talk about the physical. It may be we're just simply talking about His spiritual. But He personalized that. He makes Himself like people on purpose. Why would He do that? Well, you see, it makes it easier for even us old folks to understand who He is. Because can't figure out who He is, so He tries to make it easy by personalizing Himself. And for children, which is what we're coming to, see, why I'm talking about this is because we're coming to working with children. This book was intended for man to raise his children by this book. That was the purpose of the book, was to raise your children with the wisdom in this book. And now we're going to start teaching, we're going to start this program, and this book is the book we need to go to. And the way, part of the way they work with the children, part of the way they work with dumb adults like us, is to personify God and give His attributes similarities to what we do in earth. Well, that's not the only purpose. There's a more important purpose. Roy Zook, in his book about the sages, when he talks about these old proverbs and the old people that made these proverbs, I mean, he has a whole book. He's telling you what this whole purpose of this book is. He says it's didactic. And I'm thinking, you know, that's Roy Zook. Good old Roy Zook doing exactly what he's smart. You see, he's really, really smart. But I have trouble with this. You know, this is a fancy word, didactic. You know what it means? Simply a teaching book. It's a didactic book, but it's simply, for you and I, with the common, ordinary layman's language, it's a teaching book. It's meant to be a book that you use to teach children. Those of us that are children, grown up and still haven't gotten out of our childhood ways, that's me. That's me. I'm still, oh man, you know, give me a knife and a little time to sneak off on my back stoop and I'm gone. I'm totally out to lunch. Don't bother me because my mind's nowhere near here. And I may be with God, but it's nowhere near ground zero. You see, this is the book. This is the book that we use for teaching children. Because it personifies the God. It teaches wisdom. It gives you pithy statements that are true. Now, let's look at what our country looks like right now. You know, the country is made up with a lot of people who don't go to church. I submit to you that those people who are dancing in women's clothes don't know anything at all about wisdom. And they need to hear it on a childhood's level. The only way we're going to reach them. And you see, because Proverbs are not so looped in, these Proverbs of the ancients that were really, really true have been worked in some of the biblical Proverbs. But the Proverbs, you see, are not as offensive to begin to work your way into teaching these children that are marching into schoolhouses in women's clubs, old men. The book originally was intended for, you see, fathers to teach their children. That was the intent. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And what Thessalonians said, we need to comfort one another because of all these things that are going on. And if we're going to make an impact on youth in this church, we are going to have to begin to use a didactic book. We're going to have to undertake to try to do it. And a word of caution. This is not in any of the books, but a word of caution. Those people who are blinded because they haven't read this book, those people that are blinded so much that they buy into the sexual revolution, they buy into the church of sex, they buy into all of these other things, you see, they want to be recognized as people. And in the process, they push themselves into our lives. Don't be surprised if somebody tries to do that in child camp. Somebody we don't know. Don't be surprised if somebody doesn't do that and try to do that in this church. They will tell you that they're right and they're offended by what we say, but it's okay to offend us. Don't be surprised if we face that problem. It's one thing that we need to think about. And I believe that we need a man here somewhere at all times with the children and with a phone direct dial. I'm not saying it'll happen, but they're doing it in other towns and communities. They're doing it in some of the public stores. Getting the stores to even buy into it. They're getting big companies losing big bucks now because they undertook to do what those people want to make them feel good about evil. They're evil. They're wrong. Put that aside. Proverbs is the book that gives us guidelines to work with children. Tells us what we need to be telling the children, what we should have told the children in our families, what we should be teaching the children. There's more. And we need to read and study and go into the Word. More and more and more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for this day. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you, Father, for giving us the wisdom about what we should be doing, what we can do. Give us the wisdom about how to undertake to do what we need to do in this church. It's bigger than the book of Proverbs. It's more involved, and certainly for adults and others, it's just mind-boggling to understand it all. But we pray, Father, that you get us started. And the book of Proverbs is a way that we get started in some of the things that are true and stand as true whether you're a Christian or not. People ought to understand some of these things that are Proverbs just because they are true, but also because God has ordained them as wisdom and guidance. And sometimes that's a hard thing, a hard step for people to make from just what they see day to day and then what God tells them. So we pray, Father, that we use the book of Proverbs to make that step, to help those people that need to hear the word, make that step, to get from just what is true to what is God's truth. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.